Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Find out what that means. Find out what that stands for, USA Inc. And it just may be a crumb or a piece of the puzzle that helps you put together the rest of it. But corporations get a lot of attention for the harm that they do to humanity, to the environment, and whatnot, but you know, a lot of people don't realize USA Inc. is in the center of it all, you know. So anyway, find out what USA Inc. means. Today is Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. It is June 28th, 2016. A much cooler day here where I am in North Carolina. We had a lot of rain the other night, and I should, you know, be careful about how I use that word. A lot of rain, as we saw West Virginia, you know, houses swept from the hills by the torrential rain. Now, we got like some steady rain overnight, you know, matter of 10 hours of rain, but it was not coming down like that. But that has cooled it off immensely where I'm from, and welcome relief from this heat. And it was raining just a little bit about a couple of hours ago, so it's still cool in this area. So now I just want to, this is a news day, no guest scheduled for today, just a couple of items that caught my eye about four different news stories that I think are important. But at any time, this itinerary for today's program can't be interrupted by you, the listener, the caller. We are listener funded radio, so that means that you have a stake in this radio and you therefore have a voice. So the telephone numbers or anything you would like to share, any stories, any observations, give us a call. Two different ways. Well, actually three. First way, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to come in on air. There's a web-based flash phone associated with that for those who are listening on blacktalkradionetwork.com. The studio line is open. That number is 704-951-5030, or send us a Skype request. Also, that's our Skype studio line. So you know, lots of people, millions of people use Skype. So if that's your preferred mode of communication, just send the station a Skype request, and we'll take your calls through there. But let me give before I give you a brief rundown of these four news stories that I think are important and also follows up on questions that were asked yesterday, statement I made on Black Talk Radio Network, I think that was yesterday. I went through the news yesterday about the white supremacist economy of Europe and how I wanted to crash and burn, and you know, I said what I said. And I then later asked Brother Dave on his program, Tando Radio Show, who I think by far pays more attention to the financial, global financial markets than I do. So I usually defer to him. Okay. So, you know, got some follow-up news on that. Person that I have think has revealed how the what we'll call the white supremacist capitalist system, global system, that benefits, you know, white people and exploits non-white people all over the planet. He's a former congressman, spent 20-something years up there, and he's a good intelligence source for how it works, how white supremacy works in the area of economics. You know, and he's in politics, and like I said, you know, politics pretty much has his hand in every people activity, so I thought that was real important. But before I get to that, I want to just share with the Black Talk Media Project family or Black Talk Radio Network. You know, we could use the names synonymous with each other. But that's our nonprofit. And I again, want to stress why it's important that we crowdfund independent black news media, not just black media, because that could mean anything. That could be entertainment, that could be sports. That I'm not saying that we shouldn't make those things. If a lot of people are interested in those activities and there's money to be made off of it, and we see how they even practice, you know, racism in that industry, so yeah, those are worthwhile, I would say, counter-racist ventures to get into. So, but give me just a second. But in terms of thinking, and here's the challenge to that. Here's the challenge. Most of those business models rely on corporations that we know are harming people, health, you know, different food products and whatnot. They're harming people, GMOs, all of that kind of stuff. The environment, gas and oil industry, as we learned yesterday, a film director who made a documentary about how they're harming the environment was placed on a terrorist watch list. I mean, so, you know, now they're phasing out workers. Of course, on Wednesday nights, you will hear me on New Abolitionist Radio along with Max and Johannin and the callers talking about 21st century slavery and how these corporations use that and what have you. But again, you know, again, who's at the center of it all? USA Inc. That's who's authorizing all this stuff all over the planet. But that business model, that line you're going to have to toe, you're going to have to emulate CNN, MSNBC, Fox. You're going to have to, you got to emulate them. You can't really tell the people the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because most of the people we see on TV are just highly paid teleprompter readers. They can read in such a way that it don't look like they, you know, reading a teleprompter. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's how they get paid on who's the better puppet. And that's just the truth of the matter. That's why it's so rare to hear somebody speak some truth when they giving a mic like Jesse Williams was giving at the BET Awards. And, you know, I was scrolling through channels on some downtime, and I kept seeing BET Awards. I think it was on like more than 2 days. I don't know. But I didn't even watch it. I didn't watch it live. Because I know if anything worthwhile happens or is said, it's going to show up on the internet. And so Jesse Williams shows up on the internet. Those moments are rare. And that's why it's such a big deal. And I don't understand the hate that's being thrown his way either. But, I do understand it. I overstand it, actually. But that's a different program to talk about that. But anyway, so we know we being lied to. These are enemies of truth, corporations, and what have you. So we still, as a network, well, we really don't have to. We really don't have to, but we do distribute through some of these name brand platforms like YouTube. So I want to share with you this email I got from YouTube about some programs that you heard on Black Talk Radio News. They're all Black Talk Radio News that was submitted to YouTube. And although we're a nonprofit, we do have to diversify our revenue streams. We can't depend on, you know, the people to always have the money to donate. We can't depend on, you know, enough people really conscious about black business and bringing their business over our way. Although we do have two new programs that'll be debuting on July the 5th next week, you know. So we had to diversify our opportunities to bring in revenue to fund our activities. Now, I'm not as angry as I would be if they had deleted the content, and all they were the podcast of this program uploaded in video format to our YouTube channel, Black Talk Radio. Just put in Black Talk Radio, you'll find us. So anyway, they're saying that these titles, and some of them months old, cannot be monetized. And I'm like, I didn't even have any questions. I just read the titles, and I know why. People complain, and then I've always said, the corporate media ain't gonna fund certain type of programming that you will find on our independent station and other independent stations that go through our network to get their message out to the people. But let me share this with you. I shared it on my personal profile. Should have shared it as well, and probably will, to our Facebook page for Black Talk Media Project, the nonprofit. So this is what I posted earlier. Again, this is why it's important to crowdfund black news media, not just any kind of media, but black news media, and investigate that media and make sure they have a track record of being credible, and even when they're wrong, coming back and correcting themselves. You know, that happens. So anyway, this is what I wrote. Like I've always said, corporations will not advertise on certain black talk radio programs. Not that I care, but this is more evidence to my point. These are programs posted to YouTube. This is what YouTube sent me. Some of these are months old. Someone must have complained. Well, at least they did not take them down. So this is from YouTube. Thanks for submitting your videos for monetization. We didn't approve your videos for monetization because the content in your videos or video details may not be advertiser friendly. If you believe that the content in your video is advertiser friendly, you can request an additional review below. So they do have appeal process. Now, I have went through appeal processes containing the people trying to put claims on content, saying, particular copyrighted music or something like that. And I have successfully won all those challenges. But somebody had to complain for them to review my stuff, and they do have an appeals process, so I'll give them that. But I'm not gonna waste my time begging them or putting the fate of these videos and putting in the time and all of that for all of these videos. No, I'm not gonna. It's a waste of my time, you know. So anyway, these are the titles. If you believe that the content in your video is advertiser friendly, you can request an additional review below. I'm just going to read you the titles: Omar Mateen's 911 call, Uncle Tom's child deportations, Arizona elections, and Ted Cruz's police state proposal. BTR news of the day: terrorism, eugenics, and white supremacist presidents. Next title: 10,000 promoting peace through community conflict resolution. And that's the brothers in us that's involved with the Nation of Islam, we had them on as a guest. That's like been months, man. That's been like maybe 3 months ago. And it had been monetized since then. But anyway, somebody again had to just go through our stuff and complain and prompt us. Then the last title was a recent program we did, I think it was last week, or I did, White Power and Privilege in the U.S. War on Terror. They go on to write, please note that review times may vary, and YouTube reserves the right to make the final decision whether to monetize a video. All videos are subject to our terms of service and community guidelines and may be removed from the site if they don't meet these standards. Thanks, the YouTube team. So, of course, I put a link to Independent Black News Media has to be crowdfunded, and you can go to Black Talk Radio Network or .com or blacktalkmediaproject.org to see how the different ways that you can crowdfund through our nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. But see, this is why I'm saying, man, the enemy is not going to fund the People's Resistance Radio. That's just common sense. That's a misnomer and whatnot. And but these had to be actual advertisers who probably saw their video, or they probably get a report on where their ads showed up. What, and it's probably one or two of them might have complained. I don't care, long as they didn't take down our video. Then I would have been mad and putting in some time, gotten over my anger, got unemotional, and went in a lawyer mode and do as much as I can myself, and then if I need help, recruit others. So, but this is what we got to deal with. This is what we got to deal with. And that is why, you know, your donations are so valued here at blacktalkmediaproject.org. So I thought I would share that before I get into the news of the day. Again, if you have anything you would like to share, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. So these are the headlines of the day before I hit the phone lines. Let me go ahead and just give these out. Ron Paul, a former U.S. congressman, says the banking elite will hurt the most by Brexit. All right, so that's the question I asked Dave yesterday. So Ron Paul's gonna give his opinion, because I didn't really comment on how much or if the middle class and the poor would be affected by this. But I knew that the most wealthiest white supremacists on the planet was losing a whole bunch of their fake money. All right. And I view that as a good thing. And it sent ripples through the shock. It showed people what a fraud the system is, and just how fragile it is. And it's not sustainable. All right. That's one of the stories. This is a home state story. North Carolina House moves bill to keep police body cam videos secret and withheld from the public and the press. Second story, Lena Dunham compares Kanye West's video for the song Famous to a snuff film. Is she practicing white supremacy in the area of entertainment? The last story was actually two stories in one. I may have mentioned yesterday that the United States Supreme Court vacated the conviction of the former Virginia Governor Bob McDonald, but they also just yesterday denied appeal from former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, who was also convicted on bribery and related public corruption charges. White supremacy slave codes in the area of law. So those are some of the items that I want to throw out there. Some information I would like to share. If anybody has any comments on any of that, if you know anything But I'll share a little bit more with the listeners later. But let's hit the phone lines. The first caller, your line is unmuted. If you heard it, it is. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Scotty? Chiming in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was listening to a non-white black radio station today.
Okay.
And found out that a senator by the name of Lena Taylor has a anti-slavery bill that she's putting up. And I thought that was a more an interesting bit of information to add to the conversation.
Lena Taylor?
Lena Taylor, Senator Lena Taylor, non-white black female.
And you said it's what kind of bill? How did you describe it?
Anti-slavery. Incite the 13th Amendment specifically.
I got it. Let me share some of this with the listeners. Thank you for sharing that.
All right.
This comes from this website. It's like a off brand website or something. I should just say looks more like independent media. It's the Cap Times out of Madison, Wisconsin. State debate. Wisconsin must abolish slavery, Senator Lena Taylor writes. Bruce Murphy insists Journal Sentinel bias against Russell. So there's two stories. Let me just share this excerpt. State Senator, and this is Wisconsin, let me stress that. State Senator Lena Taylor, in a column for the Milwaukee Courier, says it's time for Wisconsin to abolish slavery. Really, she says. The state constitution sanctions slavery for punishment of a crime. No matter what someone may have done, there is no place for slavery of any kind, she adds. Thank you for sharing that. Your thoughts?
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me? I think that it's I think it's a good conversation starter. I don't want to sound like no, I don't think it's gonna pass. I don't see slavery ending without bloodshed. I don't see these people, the opposition, our opponent, giving up their power.
Do you not recall the story about Colorado actually did change their constitution and removed it?
No, I don't remember that, but I'm not when I'm talking about the global system of white supremacy. Like, I don't I don't think it'll happen without bloodshed. But what it did, well, you know, on the radio station this morning, it did spark conversations. A couple of the brothers called in, and talked about their personal stories of being enslaved, and talked about named a lot of the different products that's being made by the prisoners in the state of Wisconsin.
And this without over the terrestrial state. This without over the terrestrial airways on a what, public radio station?
Yeah, AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that that was I think that that was good. While I'm not confident that it's going to change anything, is because I'm directly tied to the public school system here. Mm-hmm. I have like a court side view, and I'm judging it by the weakest link, and our babies are suffering. I'll mute my line with that and listen. Thank you.
Yes, I know. You're a regular listener to New Abolitionist Radio, and I think last week we was hammering away that very point, was that the average age of enslaved Africans reportedly brought over here were between the ages of like 14 and 16. That's babies, man. That's children. That's children. That's the average age of the ones that survived, that made it over here. Okay, and so that's what we were hammering last week, and you know, we'll probably be talking about it some more tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time right here on this station. I think it's a great thing because it shows the influence of grassroots media. Where else have you heard beside this station that kind of language being used to describe an aspect of the system? I do agree that it is not going to bring down the global system, but you chip away and, you know, you win as many battles, some people will get some relief, or at least it's even out there in your face. Now we're getting people talking about, damn, slavery ain't never been abolished. It's still here. So that's the conversation started. So if you don't, if you, like you say, though, and I've said it before, too, I think it ultimately going to come down to bloodshed like in the Civil War. And they got tricked. You know, all the Union soldiers, all of them, you know, I ain't going to say they didn't die for nothing because they got them out. One form of slavery only for these people to be preyed upon again through law. Through the people activity area of politics and law, and that's when they put them put that legal mechanism right back in there, you know. And like has been said on this network by day, they always tell you what they gonna do before they do it, right? And that's how they tell you about certain aspects of, let's call it, public policy, how they gonna treat certain people. And so, but. It, like you stated, it's great that this went out, that people are talking about it, and it not, and talking about slavery in present tense instead of believing a lie and thinking that it's in past tense and able to name the products. And these are victims of slavery. So, you know, people talk about, you know, slave narratives and stuff like that and reading about it. Let's just call it pre-1865 slavery. Okay, well, we're now post-1865 slavery, and to hear these slave narratives are very important. They are living evidence that slavery was never abolished, and before there could be any action to, whether that be violent or nonviolent, to put it to an end, you know, first the people got to have knowledge that it exists when they've been programmed through entertainment, through education, through all different areas. You could even say law, even though the laws say one thing, it's what they don't tell you, you know. So it's great that seed of knowledge, of correct information, is being planted in some minds. We can't say how it germinates in individuals who may start collectives, and then who knows, man, one day, you know, people will really be like, you know what, we really might have to have a civil war too. And speaking of, and I'm gonna come to the next caller, we had this guy from New Zealand, I forget what his name was. He commented on an old article I posted about this white woman, the video where the white woman in South Carolina, no, we're going to say the racist piece of trash that spit in that black dude's face on that moped and whatnot. And I don't call people like that white supremacists. She working for minimum wage, living in a trailer park some damn where, and she mad about her situation because all these other white people is doing so much better than her. Instead of looking at it as it's a problem with the way we living, we don't blame black people. And I mean, she just had a one day where she just, I guess, couldn't be codified on the job and started this stuff with black people, and it was all on video. So anyway, make a long story short, this I presume to be a racist suspect living in New Zealand left a comment on our page, and I just told him just how stupid it was to come on the page on a black network, all right, and make threats towards people, and then talk about you can't be, you'll be glad when World War II start and black people get exterminated and what have you, and then you saying stuff like that, you know, and then you ain't even masking your IP address, and I'm like looking damn right at your house, but let me shut up, okay? You ain't even gonna make it to World War II the way you moving, all right? So anyway, let me just say I do believe All the evidence suggests to me, studying history, suggests to me that the only way slavery has ever been tackled, because it ain't never been abolished, this is a global system maintained through networks of corporations and partnerships with governments. It's a global system of slavery. So studying all different paths about stories, whether they were fake stories or stories that are questionable, the sources are questionable, but stories about slavery and whatnot, and then stuff we can document, there has never been an attempted overthrow of slavery that was nonviolent. It took bloodshed. Whether it was slavery or not, you know, Thomas Jefferson, them, so, oh, I can't stand these people. You know, they talked about they was enslaved to the king. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. They just didn't want to pay the taxes for the British troops to protect them, and you know, the law enforcement arm of white supremacy and whatnot. They wasn't enslaved, but that's what they described as slavery, as paying maybe 30%. I don't know how much the tax rate was back then. But then you were enslaving people, and you weren't talking about you a slave. Come on, y'all. Come on. So, man. Let me go to this next caller. Area code 9. Okay, that's the wrong one. Area code 973. 973, you're on air. Go ahead with your question and comment.
First of all, I can say good afternoon to you, Mr. Reed. Also, my heart goes out to the gentleman last week who was really feeling very, very distraught. He really touched me a lot, and I was so happy that there was a woman who called in and gave him some advice with respect to some medical, some mental information that he can, you know, seek out. Really, really touched me very, very much. So I'm praying for him. I hope he's listening. That he is definitely in my prayers. I also want to say that I've been kind of really digging on this black nationalism. You kind of, I don't think you resurrected, but, you know, it was always there. So maybe, I don't know if I'm using a appropriate word, Mr. E. But I actually listened to the ballot or the bullet in its entirety, and I've been listening to it maybe two or three times, understanding what black nationalism is. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because, you know, that is so, so very, very important, you know, just tying all the little pieces together. I mean, if we can just listen to that, the roadmap is right in that speech there. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, you think about what he said with respect to how a business can come into a black community and just extract all the resources and take it out, but you would never see, you know, a black business going into a white community and them, you know, patronizing us, because, as he said, the Caucasian man is going to definitely look at the economics as a factor of that. So, you know, we do that time and time again. If you go into any ghetto area, I live here in the New York, New Jersey area, and there are a lot of Chinese restaurants, Mr. Reed. There are a lot of Chinese air supply stores, which drives me crazy how much money they make. And it seems to me is that what we need to do is this, how, I think one has to ask the question, how does one break into the market? Nobody buys hair more so than black African-American women. Let's put it spade to spade. White women have hair. Puerto Rican women have hair. Indian women have hair. African-American women tend to have shorter hair than they do. And I'm not saying all, because that's not a word. You learn that very early on when you take your SAT. You never say all this or all that. But, you know, putting that into perspective, we have to look at that. Now, why is it that no one, I mean, I don't, have you ever looked at the movie, Mr. Reed, about Good Hair, Bad Hair, where, I think it was, not
Chris Rock, but no, I did not. I didn't watch it. It just didn't pique my interest.
And it was about.
But I heard a lot about it, though. I heard everybody's opinion.
The bottom economic factor there, Mr. Reed, was the fact that women, black African American women such as myself, were buying hair from India, you know, they get their hair chopped off, and all this hair was being stripped over here. But there was no black people selling the hair. all the stores that the patrons would be going to the store, they were owned by Chinese Americans. So mm-hmm. my thing is that you have to get to the root of the problem. How can we break into that market? I won't go into a care store, beauty supply store, if it's African American owned, but they are. They are, and I mean, they are around here, and I know they are making so much money. So
yeah, we've had some guests on Black Talk Radio News. It's been a while, you know, but we had Devin Robinson on. He's the CEO of the Beauty Supply Institute, but he was more recently on a program on this station, Blacks in Business Radio, also go, you know, BIB Radio, and he was on their program. I just Googled it. It was on March 31st of this year. This year, I just Googled like hair business Black Talk Radio.
I think I heard that program, but I understand that. But what about the convenience factor? You know, when I'm a marketing grad, and one thing about you have to have convenience. The product has to be convenient for a person to get to it. Now, I think he was saying, I think it was online or something like that. Or he did say you could open up a beauty supply store. But I'm just saying, here I live, I'm not too far from East Orange, New Jersey. And I'm thinking all those beauty supply stores in East Orange are all China.
They opened up one. Remember during Ferguson and the reports was about, you know, the different businesses that were broken into or even burnt down during that uprising. But the Korean beauty supply stores didn't come back. I think Mr. Robinson was talking about some of his clients or students or whatever had opened up. Black people had opened up hair stores and replaced them. So as a person of conscience, you know what I'm saying? That's the fine line, you know, or the juggling act we sometimes have to do, you know, is because people going to buy stuff that we may not necessarily, because we promote a lot of natural beauty. You know what I'm saying? I kind of more along those lines and not putting in extensions and the damages and stuff that it can cause. People have died from putting tracks in their hair and going to the club and sweating and them toxic glues get into their blood system. Google this stuff. But if millions of people are going to buy it anyway, we might as well give them what they want.
And get cut up the forgive, especially the one thing I say, Mr. Reed, is that African American women buy it. Let's make no mistake about it. And I like the fact that you're the type of man who like to get to the chase. They're going to buy it regardless. They want long hair. They want whatever reason for it. I'm taking all those obstacles outside of the picture that I see. And see, they're going to buy the product because it's a want. We have needs and wants in our in marketing. That's a need. That's a want. Okay? And they're going to get what they want. And then we have our basic needs. But they're going to get that. So why not be able to get a piece of that pie? And it's right. Our people, my God, who is buying the product.
Let me add this. And then just take a certain portion of the profits and put it in the PSAs promoting Black natural beauty.
Exactly. So my thing is, I would love to patronize a beauty store owned by Black people, but I don't see any. There's such a plethora of them on Main Street East Orange. It's unbelievable, and it's like I'm like, where are we?
That's that hookup. See, people want to try to make it seem like indigenous people or Black people or whatever you want to call us. Just don't call me an African American. But anyway, we are criticized when we think nationalistically, even though I don't want to go into what's really a nation and what's not a nation, but any kind of unity in our community, but and cooperative economics and giving each other the hookup in terms of they want to get into this business. Oh, I'm in this business. I'm going to open up the door for you. You know what I'm saying? But the other communities, that's how they function. And they function, and they're not criticized for it. They're in fact admired for it. So a lot of this is mental as well, but they have You know, like Mr. Robinson was talking about, they did corner the market. They have cornered the market on it. So it is hard to break into it, but he has his foot in the door, and there's some others there, and they're trying to teach people and you know, got to do something. Can't just talk about it.
Well, I was thinking, and you know, I belong to the People's Organization for Progress, and I'm a little, I have a, not a little, I ain't lying, a lot of radicalism in me at times. Where I want to put us, I want to go and boycott them. I really, but you know, I say that, and then, you know, people look at me and say, you know, well, where is the black store that I can go to? So what's the use? It's not like I'm telling them, hey, you know, girl, you know, there's a black store down the street. You should go ahead and patronize them. If there's nowhere to patronize, then they're going to go in there and get what they want, you know? So I'm at a loss right here.
I don't understand, though. This is why I don't understand, because I never looked into it. But I just looked it up. Because, see, I do have business hustle background. You know, I used to, on the street market, hustle bootleg Jordans. And they wasn't really bootlegs. They were just had a little slight defect, maybe on the sole or something that you're not even going to notice. You know, and I was ordering these things from the factories that in China that were actually, you know, commissioned, you know, to make the ones. These were just the second hands or defects or whatever. So I'm, you know, selling them on the street. I ordered all that stuff online. You know, all that stuff was online. Now, I just Googled hair extensions wholesale, and I just found all these wholesale stuff you could order no matter where it come from. So I don't understand the part about it's hard to break into the business because, see, I wholesale clothes, the parts that I use to make up my internet radio mixing kit. You know, I try to get the parts and stuff wholesale. I order in bulk, you know what I'm saying? So I just Googled hair extensions wholesale. That's all I Googled. And now I found all these different companies that I can go through to so that I can stop my shelves in my store. That's the challenge right there, is getting certain products is what I think the challenge really is, because people won't name brand stuff. So can you get your foot in the door to be able to purchase enough to even, you know, because they kind of like you had to order a certain amount with some of these big name brands. So, you know, it's just, it could be a challenge on getting some of those. So maybe you could find some off-brand stuff. Who knows?
Well, I really want to thank you, Mr. Reed, for that bringing back the black nationalism, you know, just kind of, you know, putting us back on track with respect to where, you know, like I said, if you just listen to that tape. And also, and lastly, sir, is that he talked about the re-education of the Negro. He said we have to re-educate our minds. We have to get out all this propaganda that we're not this and we're not that before we can move further. And I think about that. If you start a child in kindergarten, preschool, whatever, telling them they're good people and, you know, present all these positive image of black people, they can't go wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Bible says train a child. I don't mean to go biblical on me, but I'm just...
It's okay. You expressing yourself.
Train a child the way he should go, and supposedly he should not part from that. I'm thinking training that mind. You know, that mind is so, so important from them. Because if a child is, like, let's say, for instance, those children who do start doing drugs, they see these guys out here selling drugs, having these cars, right? They're little, and they're making, they're very impressionable minds, Mr. Reed.
And it's glorified.
This is what I want to do. This is the way I'm going to make my money. I want to be just like G Money or whoever. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, these are the images they have before them. So I mean, like I said, I really appreciate it because it really opened my mind more so about you have to start from the root. You have to re-educate the minds of black people before, and starting in kindergarten. You know, they're going to get charter schools, and there's this big thing, charter schools versus public schools. They get charter. I do believe for myself that if I had had a son, I only have a daughter, that I would want him to go to a school. He wouldn't have went to a public school, because I would want him, there's a school in North that they have, it's an all-boys school, which is like what Mr. X talked about, how they really teach the kids about black nationalism, respect your black woman, and these young men are going to be some power balls this time of war. They really are. So I'm going to close, and I really thank you for, you know, bringing this back into the fold, Mr. Reed. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, I'm going to clear the callers.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Callers queue, anytime anybody else wants to chime in on some of the stories or something they want to share, just hit *6 and 1 on the conference line. The studio line is 704-951-5030. I'm going to take a station identification break and then just hit briefly these news items, because I think they're touching on important stuff that's on people's mind, especially that Brexit vote. What is the stock market doing? Oh, is my 401k okay and whatnot? But like I stated yesterday, will some black people get hurt? A very, very, very small percentage, because a lot of us don't have them 401ks like that. You know what I'm saying? That's tied up in the stock market, and we lost so much wealth since that 2008 crash we ain't never recovered from, because all we got was a little, you know, what they call it, a little stimulus check that didn't even begin to cover the losses in the black community. So that's another story. So, but we'll hit them these four stories coming up on the other side of the break.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. The first story I want to jump to, again, this is Ron Paul. I actually voted for this man for president in 2008 and 2012. No, I didn't vote for Obama. I always got to be different, y'all. I don't know what it is about me, but no, I didn't just cast a vote, you know, for Ron Paul to be different. But I've always taken that serious. You know, politics. When I first really got into it, I didn't understand the corrupt, you know, really. I knew it was some corruption in it, but I ain't know the extent to the corruption. That's why y'all really need to be paying attention to Hillary Clinton's email situation. Because you, as they keep releasing all these emails, which Google News feed is suppressing these stories, you got to do a search like Clinton email. Man, you're getting a behind-the-scenes look at how racism and white supremacy work in just about every people activity area. USA Inc. is involved. And you need to be paying attention to that if you're really trying to understand how these people make moves on the battlefield globally. Because the Secretary of State is like the point person. And she has given us a treasure trove of gifts and intelligence on just how it worked from behind the scenes. We don't need no theories. We don't need no, you know, we don't have to rely just on those. I don't mean to say we shouldn't, you know, come up with theories about certain things that we're trying to solve. You know, that's part of the process of solving something. But when we have direct evidence, we don't need to hold on to theories. This is the evidence. This is how it works. They're telling you what they did. They're talking about what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and then they talk about, you know, the aftermath. In the case of the murder of Muammar Gaddafi, Hillary Clinton, knowing she was being videotaped, it's in her recent email. She's very concerned about her public image and whatnot. She thought it would be good for her image to be videotaped on her BlackBerry. Now we know unsecure BlackBerry, sitting in Afghanistan, getting a news report, probably the video of Gaddafi being murdered by Islamic jihadists. Because, you know, and we, you know, I don't know. So we'll just call, I'm really thinking that many of them were rena jihadists, but the way those guys that went after Gaddafi with the brutality and the hatred that they had in the Allah Akbar. I think them dudes was for real. But I know the United States government, you know, uses those renter jihadists and what have you. So that was her reaction, celebratory, gonna put this out there, leak it. That's classified right there. I don't understand why that's not. Man, I don't even want to go off into that. But anyway, Ron Paul, though, really was a source of information in terms of the financial system. That's what he's known for. He's a capitalist, and he really understands capitalism, and he has his ideologies that he subscribed to, and he think it's the best system in the world. And I may disagree with him on that, but he understands how it works, and he talks about how it's corrupt, how the whole system is rigged and corrupt, because he's a purist. He's a, you know, you're putting a bad name on capitalism, and what have you. So he has his reasons, but he's a great source of information I have found over the years, on financial matters, and pertaining to what the government is doing, the U.S. government is doing, the federal government spending, and foreign policy aspect of it. He talks a lot about that. So anyway, yesterday I asked the question. I said, I made the statement that I hope the European Union do crash. I hope to stop. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic is the word that I use, that the wealthiest white supremacists like the Mitt Romneys and all of them is losing big time because of that, losing all that funny money, that they won from the casinos or the stock market, like Dave describes it. You know, this is really like Vegas. This is gambling. It's really what the stock market really is. And it's I was ecstatic to know that these wealthy white supremacists was losing big at the crab tables. That's the way I sum it up. But Dave raised some concerns about the common people's economy and whatnot. And I understood what he was saying, but also, you can't say everybody, people just have to make do the best they can, and we can be resourceful people. But Ron Paul says the people will not suffer from Brexit. Only the global banking elite will. That is coming to you from Mint Press. They also posted a video from, I think this is the Free Thought Project. So I'm going to go ahead and play this video. This is him talking about it. Not going to play the entire thing. It's like 18 minutes long. See if I can find out what part he starts talking about it.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today is the day we usually do Mythbusters, and the co-host is Chris Rossini, who is also the editor of the Ron Paul LibertyReport.com. Although this is the day we do Mythbusters, we're going to change our program a little bit because of the very interesting and exciting news coming out of Europe today. I generally go to bed pretty early at night and get up real early, but last night I stayed up late. I was watching financial news well into the wee hours of the morning, watching for the vote on Brexit. And to the surprise of many, and it was a surprise to the market players, rather late, they had to change their tune and found out that the Brexit referendum actually passed. So, Chris, thank you for being with us today on this special day and special report.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Paul. I also was up last night. I was on Twitter, and I was cheering away at the great news. You know, our job is mostly chronicling, it seems, the downward spiral that we've been subject to, but it's nice to celebrate something good, something that's pro-liberty. So I want to start with a question, Dr. Paul, for you. And do you think the establishment will, this is a major blow to them, will they try to reverse this somehow? After all, this vote is not a binding vote. So what are your thoughts on that?
They never give up. It's sort of like the neocons in foreign policy. No matter how badly things turn out, they always come back and say, we have to do more of this aggression around the world. And that's the way it is on these programs like this. Whether it's a Federal Reserve policy where lower interest rates doesn't work and running up debt doesn't work, they never give up because they don't have anything else. They're actually, their ideas are bankrupt. So in this case of, the destruction of national sovereignty, the forced integration of many, many nations coming together in a European Union, it was doomed to fail from the beginning. I never believed for once that it would last. It's lasted actually longer than I thought, and it still exists. And the point is this vote doesn't cancel it out. But it sends a strong message, and that message is every bit as strong as a legal message. This is a consensus. I have often argued over the years that it is the will of the people that finally win out in the end. The attitude of the people, the beliefs that they have will eventually, change the government. Sometimes it takes a long time, and with a lot of frustrations, it happens. Because when people are doing well and they're apathetic and naive, they get talked into going to war, but they get talked into these organizations like the European Union. So it takes a while and takes a lot of time for people to really put it all together, and you obviously have to have a leader that tells them what's going on. And in this case, there was a principal British leader who was a member of the European Parliament, and that's Nigel Farage. Nigel has been on this program. We've talked about this issue many, many times, and just several weeks ago, a month or so ago, he was on this program, but we have this picture of Nigel, and it's great because that guy is excited, and for good reasons. It's not like when people do great harm and they have these great successes for the military-industrial complex and they pass bad legislation and the Fed makes announcement. This is a move in the right direction, and he has a lot of reasons to be very excited about this, and a lot of other people. I thought at one time maybe we should get a picture of the ones with where their faces are downtrodden from the consequence of what happened last night, because a lot of the establishment people that were betting against this happening aren't very happy today. But those are the ones who have capitalized and made money off this type of system. But it is coming to an end. The referendum, like we said not too many days ago when we talked about this, it doesn't have legal effect. It's a statement, and it's going to take at least, the minimum is 2 years for this to come about and the British actually leave. There will be a lot of votes in the Parliament, but the sentiment and the attitude of the people very strong, because Cameron had to resign from office today, the Prime Minister resigning. So that tells you that public opinion is very, very important. And this is there's a long way to go, but it is set, because that system was not workable. It was done by force. See, I like integration that's voluntary, trade and travel and exciting things like this. But as soon as it becomes forced, it's no good. The people suffer. The special interests get control. That's why you don't get free trade by having bigger trade groups, the WTO and NAFTA and all these things. You don't have free trade, but free trade is very good. So this is to me very, very good that this is happening, and proves that using force doesn't work. During the 20th century, they used force, military force, to force the try to create empires like the Soviet system. And of course, we've been involved in an empire building as well. But I think in the 20th century, it's been less the movement of millions and millions of troops around the world to take over. But in a way, there was a movement to take over Europe. And most of the time, I think it was against the will of the people, and they didn't pay enough attention. So since the failure is out there, I think this is dramatic. It's just hope the momentum can go in the right direction, and people realize, I hope they can separate out, the voluntary integration under sound money versus the integration that's done by force. That's what finally riled up the British people. It was some economic things and regulations and things that is going on around the world. But it was really the writing of the rules out of Brussels and involving, immigration and forced immigration problems. The British caused a lot of problems along with the Americans in the Middle East, and this mass migration coming through Europe in our country as well. People don't like that. That's a lot different than welcoming people who want to become citizens, willing to work and take care of themselves, and they don't get financed by the government. So what is happening is absolutely opposite of how things would occur in a free society.
Yes, and we libertarians, we always try to preach that if a power center exists, you'd want it to be as decentralized as possible. Right. Now, those who lust for power want the exact opposite. They want to centralize as much as possible, and that causes big problems. Now, our dear friend Lou Rockwell had a nice little quote that I'd like to read, and he says that Brexit is a victory for more than England and Wales. It's a victory for decentralism and secession. Now, secession's a dirty word, especially here in the United States, Dr. Paul. But please talk about these two key concepts. And also, what are your thoughts? Can Britain be the first domino to fall in this secession, with this secession idea?
Let's hope so. But, there was a challenge for me several years back, and I think I had a bit of an achievement, and that is taking the term isolationism and turning it into non-intervention. And a lot of people use that. Now, but secession, obviously I think secession is good all the way down to the individual. The best you can get in world government, national governments, group governments, European Union, NAFTA, all this stuff down and all the way to the individual if you can. But the whole problem is people think secession is horrible. Well, the British might have an antagonism to us because we believed in secession and we seceded from the British Empire, which wasn't too bad of an idea. They come back looking for help from us at times. So in a way, secession was pretty good. Now, what they want to do is make you think that if you believe in secession, that must mean you're a racist. They turn and twist and do all this thing. But I liked it when Eastern Europe seceded from the Soviet system. That was a great secession. Of course, it hasn't morphed into anything spectacular because it was sort of grabbed up into the Western powers and into NATO and other things. So I think that secession is good. Matter of fact, I see this as an economic and a political event going on now because it had to do with immigration and economic policy. But what they didn't talk about, and it has not been addressed, is the unification of Europe and the United States into the military might of NATO. NATO is a cause of great deal of trouble for us because they're the ones who spread the bombs and antagonism, stir up the trouble. And they come together and they get organized when they want to deal with Ukraine and Syria and all these other things. And they're still in existence. And I think the British government will stick with that. They're very much involved. So in spite of this victory, there is still this other element that we have to address. And someday that will happen because I think the chaos that we're facing today, this is just starting on the economic chaos. And these are the rules, economic laws that are driving this. And they're not going to be canceled out by the old cliches. Lower the interest rates, print more money, run up more debts, and that's all past, but they're not willing to admit it. But as this trend continues, they will be forced to admit that the system that we have, and the system I'm talking about, is the dollar hegemony system that evolved out of the breakdown of Bretton Woods in 1971. That system will not last, and we're witnessing a big crack in that system this very day.
Yes, and I'd like to point out a big lesson that I got from this vote, and it was from watching the nonstop propaganda and fear-mongering. I mean, it was the media, the politicians, they were walking lockstep with each other, which caused those of us who supported to leave to think, oh boy, how's this going to happen? But this proved that no matter how much propaganda is out there and fear-mongering, that it could still fail. It's not foolproof. And so that's a nice lesson to learn from this. And we're now in election season here in the United States, and there's all types of lies and distortions being told. So how do you think that this Brexit, if do you think it will affect our election at all or not?
Well, I think it will. I don't think it'll be all, you know, the most important issue, but the important issue, of course, that Trump pushes related to some of the problems over there. So I do think he'll benefit from it, but whether he wins and beats Hillary or not, I think there'll be a lot of other factors there. So yes, it does have an influence, and the people, you know, unfortunately are receptive to too much of the propaganda, which are lies. Because of the collusion of the military-industrial complex, the media-industrial complex, the governments involved, and the politicians and all the special interests, the banking industry, they're very, very powerful. But even in spite of that, what is good about this is they were beaten. You know, so truth does win out. But the sad part, there's not much prevention out there preventing this. All these problems of whether it was the Great Depression or the recent depression or runaway inflation, all of this is preventable by correct ideas. And sometimes when the crisis comes, we will do the right thing. The crisis has hit Europe, and especially the migration crisis, and people are angry and upset, and they're doing something. They're moving in the right direction, that national sovereignty is better than having government out of Brussels to telling all the countries what to do and having a European central bank. So I think this is very, very good, moving in the right direction, but it takes too long. That's my frustration that I have, and people are gullible. They're very gullible when conditions are very good. You know, when people aren't recognizing that the fiat dollar system is deeply flawed and it will end badly. Well, right now it's looking good because everybody loves our dollar, and to a degree they still are taking our dollars. But eventually they quit taking our dollars, and then all the mistakes, whether it's this kind of mistakes of economic unions and political unions and the wars that are going on and the deficits that have been run up, those are all big mistakes, and all the malinvestment that has to be corrected. So it will be corrected. The big question is, are we able to get our message out and say there are answers to this? We know which way we should go. It's not found in the aggravation and the taking away of more liberties. Just yesterday, our program dealt with why do they constantly use gun violence that are happening and say, oh, well, it's too much liberty. We have to take away the Second Amendment and the Fifth Amendment. So they go in the wrong direction. Directors frequently. So in this sense, the British people have sent a strong message out. It might be narrow, but it's still a powerful message, and a lot of people are watching, and there's a lot of other countries watching, because I think this is the beginning of the end for the European Union, and nobody's going to suffer from that. Only the wealthy banking special interests will suffer any from this, but the people will not. But it is important that you end up with a government that has a little bit of common sense to create the conditions where people can go back to work again.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. That's what I was waiting for, man. I almost played the whole clip, but he said, let me back that up, because that was very important.
I will suffer any from this, but the people will not. But it is important that you end up with a government that has a little bit of common sense to create the conditions where people can go back to work again.
You end up with a government. So that means something different from what we have now. Again, I don't understand why people want to hold on to this system, want to save this system, especially the victims of this system that nobody really can deny, except for, you know, just a straight up liar or whatever, but nobody's really denying. The consensus is that institutional racism is a problem in the United States. The United Nations just conducted a fact-finding mission on racism and white supremacy during this decade for people of African descent, and they took testimony, they gathered evidence, and so this is a consensus. So why does anybody want to hang on to USA Inc.? You know, this is a nonviolent means for it to collapse. So he's thinking in terms of Europe, and I know he's all pro USA and believe the hype and all of that. You know, that's him. But I'm looking past that. And so, but let's touch upon the dirty word secession. You know, now, in light of the program we did yesterday on black nationalism, that word kind of takes on a different meaning for the black nationalists when you look at it in that context. And let me clarify something. I'm not a black nationalist, okay? But I see black nationalists as natural allies because they believe in some of the same principles I believe in. They see some of the same problems or whatnot. But I'm a pan-Africanist. I'm not a black nationalist, meaning that I just don't think that we're going to be able to organize. It's nice to have that vision and goal, and I don't mean to minimize the work that people are putting into making this Republic of New Africa to come into existence, but I just don't see that ever happening. I do see it could happen if you got, let's say, the five states that they identify, the majority of black people moved all to these states, and you got to look at the state constitution to see if you can change the constitution, because North Carolina constitution say you will forever be, you know, part of the union and what, no secession. That's what they put in there. So that, you know, you had to have a constitutional amendment. But there are some states that have language that allow for, legal language that allow for that secession. It's saying that whenever the government, and I'm paraphrasing, become tyrannical and it puts its boot on the neck of the people have a right to change that government, overthrow that government. Different words that they're using, but I mean, the words mean the same thing. So let's say a whole bunch of black people moved, predominantly black people moved to certain states, and I've talked about this over the years. And you're in that state where you can, you know, vote, secede. You want to secede. So, see, most black people are trained, they are trained to automatically think of it in a racist way, because Texas was in the news lately connected to this Brexit vote, saying they want to secede again. And remember, you know, all of this was going on when Obama was running, you know, campaigning for president, and all this secession talk. And it does invoke images of slavery, because that's what the hell they were fighting for, to maintain slavery. But black nationalists, the people associated with the Republic of New Africa, ain't talking about implementing a system of slave based on slavery or anything like that. It is a reaction to racism and white supremacy, and following in the belief that the father of U.S. black nationalism believe that white people ain't never gonna stop practicing institutional racism. Obviously, he did not. I think today, if he were alive today, he would recognize, just like Malcolm X recognized, that black people play an integral role in maintaining the system of white supremacy. That's what, there you go with your celebrity figurehead, as Dave calls him, Barack Obama, Susan Rice at the UN, all these are Clarence Thomas. He's a celebrity figurehead. So, you know, we have to, again, train our minds to think about these things critically and what these mean. Oh, you support black nationalism, but you talking bad about someone. And let's be for real. Some of these people who do that talk are racist, white supremacists, and would love to bring back slavery. But let's not crap on the principle of secession when it might suit some irony. I'm just saying, think that's what Britain is doing, seceding from the European Union, because it ain't benefiting the people of the European Union. I mean, of the UK, obviously. But again, my whole thing is I want the whole global system to crash, decentralized white supremacy. He ain't using those terms, but that's what he's talking about. He don't even realize that he's giving me a blueprint, or part of the blueprint to dismantling them system. That's why I listen to these people. I don't listen to people like he's connected to this racist, or he was accused of racism 40 years ago and stuff like that. Look, I'm peeping him. I'm peeping the person over the district I'm in. I'm peeping President Obama. I'm gathering intelligence from everybody. And he reveals a whole lot of the flaws in the system. White supremacy is centralized. That's what the European Union represents. You see what how they're ravaging Africa and what they did to Libya. So anyway, I didn't mean to stay so long on that. So I'll move on to the next. But I thought it was just important because you're hearing a whole lot of news about it. Some of it is a lot of it is disinformation, depending upon where you're getting your information from. All right, next story. North Carolina, state that I live in. About to call my North Carolina senator. And because it's going to go to the Senate now that the North Carolina House has advanced a body camera bill that defeats the purpose of body cameras, according to the ACLU. This is an article that was published in IndyWeek.com. Communities across North Carolina and the entire country have spent a great deal of time over the last year trying to iron out thoughtful policies regarding how accessible police body camera footage should be. It's tricky business, a balancing act of transparency objectives and privacy concerns. But the entire reason these conversations are taking place is because people want more accountability from their police departments. They want evidence that what officers write in their reports line up with what actually happened on the street. They don't want what happened with Laquan McDonald to happen in their cities and towns. Both Raleigh and Durham have been working through the details of this policy, but legislation introduced during the current state legislative session threatens to essentially nullify those efforts. As the ND previously reported, HB House Bill number 972, sponsored by John Faircloth, a Republican out of High Point, North Carolina, and Alan McNeil, a Republican out of Asheboro, both of whom are retired slave catchers, that's my language, would give police departments full discretion as to what is released to the general public. Monday night, HB 972 passed in the House. So I got to get on the phone and put something in the ear of this senator that represents this district. I forget his name. But we have here in Gaston County, and I will remind him, we had a 70-something-year-old black man, Navy veteran, just got out the hospital from heart surgery, was recuperating in his home when his family, you know, called and asked police to do a welfare check on him. So instead of them coming at a logical time and what have you, they come in the middle of the night. They kick in the man's door. He's in there in the bed resting and whatnot. So anyway, they kick in the man's door. He hear them trying to break in, right? I don't know if what his hearing was like, if they identified themselves as police as they was kicking in the door, or paramedics and we're just checking on you and this and that. But the man, I forget his name, but I'll be, you know, looking it up again. But so he came. He stepped out into his hallway, out his bedroom, with his little .22 pistol in his hand to protect himself. This is a home invasion, as far as he's concerned. He live in a city in Gastonia where that type of crime do go on, you know, more so than other areas. But so the cop shoots and kills him. No body cam whatsoever. No witness. Because the firemen didn't go in. The cop went in by himself first. No other way. Just his word against nobody's, because the man's dead. Body cam would help in that situation. And they have buried this for over a year, going on a year or more than a year. This cop has not even, the grand jury, we ain't heard nothing. The last we heard, they was investigating it. I think the SBI was investigating. That's all we've heard. No decision to charge or not to charge. So this is about providing confidence that we don't live, slave catchers ain't out there just gunning down people. I mean, that's a violation of his rights. Just because he had a gun, that police should have took a bullet. That man has Second Amendment rights. This is a U.S. veteran, you know, if that means something to them, which they just pay that lip service. But, I mean, just so many issues here. So this is definitely something that is a pattern across the country. Slave catchers who become politicians who then try to pass laws to help the slave catchers on the job get away with, you know, the things that happen during the course of their slave catching duties. Killing people. I mean, Walter Scott down there in Charleston, South Carolina. Man, I just had that man on the tip of my tongue here in Gaston County, North Carolina. I mean, we all over, you know, with Laquan McDonald, which is kind of a way for me to segue into the next story about, is this woman practicing white supremacy against Conway West's crappy video for the song. In my opinion, is crappy as well. It's just not, does not suit my musical taste. His Famous, where he got all these celebrities and wax figures of celebrities in this long, big white beard, you know, all of them naked. Some of them, you know, bodies are covered and, you know, breasts exposed, big booties exposed, and all that kind of stuff. Donald Trump was in it. Caitlyn Jenner, which is Bruce Jenner, because he still got his equipment, all right? He ain't cut it off. I think he's even exploiting that to make money. But he's in it. Kanye West is in it, obviously in the center, with what's her name, Kim Kardashian. I don't think she took his last name, but right next to him. Then Taylor Swift, who he fused with on the other side and whatnot. Donald Trump is in it. Rihanna. And I can't remember the rest. But anyway, you know, it is a very weird video. He said it was inspired by another photograph that was kind of similar. I didn't go look up the original photograph or whatever. I didn't really like the song or anything. But what caught my eye about this story is this white woman by the name of Lena Dunham, who has been described as a feminist. All right. And she compared his video for that song to a snuff film. And so I'm asking a question. I've already answered it for myself, but I'm putting it out there to you. Is she practicing white supremacy in the area of entertainment? Now, I don't like this video. Again, I don't like this song. But she is being a drama queen, really. You know, a snuff film. So let me pull this article up from The Independent. This is from Ireland, so I'm assuming that Lena Dunham is either Irish or of Irish descent. But she has criticized Kanye West's disturbing, quote-unquote, new music video for depicting a host of naked celebrities in bed together. The girl star, she has some cable television show, said Taylor Swift, Rihanna, and Anna Wintour have been reduced to a pair of waxy breasts in the music video for Famous, which made her feel unsafe and worried for teenage girls. Let me continue to read. All right, in a post on Facebook, Dunham described the video as one of the more disturbing artistic efforts in recent memory. In the context of the controversial 6-month sentence handed to convicted rapist Brock Turner. So now, you know, Kanye's promoting rape. Okay, wow. Brock Turner and a string of sexual assault allegations facing comic Bill Cosby. All right. She wrote, "Now I have to see the prone, unconscious, waxy bodies of famous women twisted like they've been drugged and chucked aside at a rager. It gives me such a sickening sense of this disease." Now, I'm just going to stop there because that's the most important part. She can go on and run her mouth about whatever but she's practicing white supremacy here, in my opinion. All right. There are men in this video who are exposed and being exploited. I don't know if Donald Trump gave permission for a wax figure to be made of his big white chunky body. You know, showing on being exploited. She ain't say nothing about none of the men or mentioning that Kanye's exploiting himself as well. She don't say nothing about the transsexual known as Caitlyn Jenner. Nothing about these. So that might, you know, you acting pretty sexist there. You don't care about the exploitation of the elderly. Donald Trump's an elder. I mean, you know, in terms of a senior citizen. I mean, he ain't retired or nothing, but he's still a senior citizen. And some of these other people, you know, I ain't really like study it. But, it, you know, it's not showing them in a flattering position or whatnot. But I thought they were just sleep in the bed. I didn't get from it that they were drugged up. Everybody got their eyes closed and, you know, people sleep in different positions. So I'm like, she's really being a drama queen here. Why is she going after Kanye West? Why couldn't she just leave it at it's not of my taste and I thought it was in poor taste or I thought it was kind of cheesy or something like that? And no, she want to accuse this man of promoting rape, try to connect him to promoting rape. She goes on to promote date rape at that, like they've been drugged. And this was interesting. She said, let me read this. Now I have to see the prone, unconscious, waxy bodies of famous women twisted like they've been drugged and chunked aside at a rager. Now, what's a rager? I imagine that's like these big dance parties. I don't know. I've never been to one. I've seen, you know, scenes of them on television or in a movie or something. And it's just a bunch of people, you know, people partying, mostly white people, drinking, you know, playing this techno pop music with all of these glow sticks and stuff like that. And a lot of drugs being used, okay? So how is that what's going on at ragers? Because I ain't never seen that shown in the movie where, you know, everybody just having an orgy or something, or women are just, you know, being open to all these different men just having sex with them and they so drugged out that, you know, they have sex with them to the point of exhaustion or whatever and chuck them to the side, you know, and go find somewhere. I mean, had she talked like she talking from experience, man, because when I look at her picture with no makeup, man, she looked like she been drugged through the mud herself, you know. So maybe she has participated in these ragers, I can't say. But talking about it gives her such a sickening sense of disease. I don't know. Is she talking about he spread, promoting the spread of STDs? All of this is just ridiculous. It makes me feel sad and unsafe and worried for teenage girls who watch this and may not understand that grainy roving camera as the stuff of snuff films. Now, snuff film, you won't talk about snuff film. We just got through talking about here in North Carolina, they want to keep snuff films from the public because they don't want you to know that these killings of unarmed people and unjustified killings are going on. Those are snuff films. They play out, you know, been playing out on news stations all across the nation, on the internet and online, and people making a lot of money off of it too, you know. And that's sick. But I'm for all of these films being broadcast, being accessible to the public, to the media, so people don't be lied to and think that it's safe behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Because they hide, they already under report. And I'm not even criticizing the Gaston County Police Department or anything like that here. My experience, I have not had bad experiences. I have not heard about them, you know, just flat out killing somebody. They did have to shoot a white man who attacked another white man who was a retired cop who was sleeping with his wife, and I think he shot the dude. I don't know if he killed him. I think he did kill the former cop. But anyway, police showed up and killed him. So I'm not going to say that was unjustified. There was video of it and all that. Why they want to hide that from the public? That showed that those officers were in the clear, that they gave him opportunity. So you know what I'm saying? All this does is so that's what we, those are snuff films. She encouraged West to make a statement on fame, privacy, or whatever is on your mind before adding, "But I can't watch it, don't want to watch it. If it feels informed and inspired by the aspects of our culture that make women feel unsafe, even in their own beds, in their own bodies." I mean, give me a damn break. Now, check this out. Some people posted this in the comment section when I posted this on Facebook, that shared this story in my commentary. Some people said, didn't this woman write a book where she admitted in her book that as a 7-year-old, she molested her 1-year-old baby sister? And also, and then not like she was condemning it or anything or saying that, but chalked it up to just natural curiosity or something like that. She put this in the book. Is she promoting incestuous relationships between siblings? I mean, did anybody make that charge at her? You know what I'm saying? And it's true. She did write about it. I looked it up. And she also was known, they said, for being naked on TV. And they were just saying how, you know, ironic or something like that. It's not ironic. It's hypocrisy. And I would dare to say it's racism, white supremacy as well, with a hint of sexism towards males. Like she hate men or something. So anyway, all I, you know, really, she just doing nothing but Kanye be playing mind games with these people sometimes, man. Again, I don't really like his music or nothing like that, but he be playing mind games with these people, man. He like famous, you know. I ain't looked up the lyrics of the song, and they really didn't like the song, so I wasn't paying attention to the lyrics that much. He kept, you know how they loop the beats. It's like the whole song is a hook or something. But and then I'm watching the video, and it's just going back and forth over these white these celebrity figures in this white bed with him in the center of it. And they're all famous people. So, you know, I'm like, you know, that's so simplistic. That is, this video is really boring unless, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of the human form, especially Rihanna's form and whatnot. But, you know what, this, you know, in its totality, no. You would not be getting any votes for any kind of awards for your artistic expression or whatnot. And then you admit that you copied it from or was inspired, let me change my language, by something else, a photograph or something. So she's really helping him spread this film, I mean this video, film, song, famous. Media's helping him, but I just thought that this woman was going way overboard, and she was accusing Kanye West of some pretty nasty stuff, man. And I think she is a pretty nasty, you know, practice. I don't know if she a white supremacist or not. I don't know how much money she got. I don't know how much influence she have on this or that. Having a TV show don't make her a white supremacist. But anyway, and then she Irish at that. They ain't really considered in the white supremacy club. They just get some white privilege. But anyway, she's practicing what is known as white supremacy in the area of entertainment. So that's the only reason I brought it up. I usually don't talk about entertainment stuff unless it intersects with social political issues. All right, let's go to the phone line. We got a call, 754. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Scotty?
Hey, peace to you, Sam. Yeah.
What's going on? You were right to bring that up. You were right to bring that up and talk about it on your airwaves because, you know, inherently, well, inside, you know, we might understand it, but we can't articulate it. But that's exactly what it is, racism, white supremacy. Because, like, okay, and in my eyes, or from what I think I have a understanding of, the feminist movement, feminism, is just a product of racism. It was just a way for white women to gain, you know, access to what they thought, I know, never had access with white men, off the backs of slaves, off the backs of black men, and off the backs of black women. And, you know, it's just, and it shows that by her language, which is like, just this, when I was hearing you say, hearing her say, it reminded her of some other film or other picture that she saw or something like that. And I was thinking, you know, did she react to that film in the same way? Or was her reaction different? Or did she even react? What you just said about her admitting in the book, I don't know if you said she wrote it or someone else wrote it, that she molested her niece or her...
She wrote it, her baby sister, her one-year-old sister. She was seven. She said she was seven at the time, and her baby sister was one. It was, she wrote the book.
That's ridiculous. That's nasty. That's ridiculous. But again, as in my eyes, that's the majority of white people history. And as far as Irish goes, you know, I won't say all white people, but I think that those type of things are a big, big part of their history, because they just, from what I see, from what I've encountered with them, it's always deception. It's a lot of evilness. Just do stuff, just bad things. And you know, now that I understand, like I said, I'm not always the best at articulating, but I understand it. I understand that the only reason she's saying all that, you're right, she's talking about the man, but she's promoting him. She's putting him out there more and more for people to go and see whether they want to be controversial against it or not. But, you know, just her type of language and then that codified talk, I understand she's being racist. She's not white privilege, just racism, trying to use your platform of really being white to say these things and really get away with it. And I just come to find out, man, a lot of them don't say certain things because they know, you know, they're in an environment where they can be touched. But when it's they online or, you know, in a group of them and things like that, they say all types of slip stuff, knowing that it's wrong, knowing that they more than likely don't agree with it, but because they don't like the person or they don't like the area that person covers, or it's kind of hard to explain, but they don't like that person. So they'll say something, you know what I mean, and try and...
Like in the area of music, hurt his career, you know, bring shame onto his game or whatever, but hurt him economically, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
All the people activities, sex, we're talking about sex here, we're talking about law, because she's alleging he's doing something illegal or he's promoting something like some kind of sexual deviancy. And I just seen a bunch of naked famous people laying in the bed asleep, and, you know, like somebody drugged them. So, I mean, man, she just full on, but doing it in a codified manner. But I see right through it, man.
Right. And that's the big thing about it. And that's what I think. I feel bumped at. I feel like I know that's what pissed her off, because that's what pissed most of them off. That when you have a codified either response, or not even a reaction or response, a codified action. Nothing to really solicit it in their eyes, but it's targeted, it's at them, but it's codified. So they can't readily reject it and garner, you know what I'm saying, back and behind. They can only just say certain things about it. You
now,
understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. What would be the code? The question we need to ask is, the question we should ask is, what should be the codified response to Kanye West? And I say that Kanye West's response should be nothing. He shouldn't say nothing, because she got a TV show, and she trying to promote that, as they mentioned in the article, the name of her little cable TV show. So I wouldn't even acknowledge her. You know, I would just ignore her and let her know, you know, you ain't even a pimple on my ass, so you just insignificant.
Let her go after somebody else and try and get some free press, some free publicity off somebody else. Because, let's face it, Kanye West is always a target. But I appreciate the commentary and the news, as always, Scotty, and I'll be listening.
All right.
You take care of yourself, brother, and I'll meet with
you. You do the same.
Q&AQ is cleared.
All right, let me move to the next story. We're going to talk about how the white supremacy slave codes are manifesting in the area of law as it pertains to the U.S. Supreme Court vacating the conviction of the former Virginia governor, and I guess his wife as well, but they just mentioned him by name, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. But just yesterday, they denied the appeal for a new trial from former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, who was also convicted on similar bribery and related public corruption charges. So to me, you know, with these decisions coming in the same week or one right within days of another, and I can't help but notice the difference in the melanation of their skin tone. Let's just keep it real. Bob McCullough is a white man and Kwame Kilpatrick is a black man. Now, let's throw out the question of whether Kwame Kilpatrick did what he was convicted of doing. All right, because I have people still in Detroit, and they told me that he was involved in some shady things. But for me, this ain't even about whether he did it or not. What it's about is that there was presented evidence that clearly showed that what Bob McDonald and his wife did was the same doggone thing. All right, so I'll start with, you know, this piece from TheHill.com. High court overturns bribery conviction of former Virginia Governor McDonnell. The Supreme Court handed a victory to former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, a Republican, on Monday, unanimously tossing out his conviction on corruption charges and his 2-year prison sentence. The court said the parties have not had an opportunity to argue whether the charges should be dismissed due to insufficient evidence, so the justices are leaving it up to the lower court to hold a retrial. So he can be retried if they so the Justice Department, which is headed by, you know, Loretta Lynch, staffed by a whole bunch of U.S. attorneys, that will make this decision of whether to refile charges. All right, so they just let this dude out of prison. They just overturned his conviction. All right, now, this says, let me read this. There is no doubt that this case is distasteful. It may be worse than that, Chief Justice John Roberts said in delivering the opinion of the court. But our concern is not with tawdry tales of Ferraris, Rolexes, and ball gowns. It instead is with the broader legal implications of the government's boundless interpretation of the federal bribery statute. In appealing his conviction, McDonald challenged the jury instructions specifically. So the instructions, after all the evidence was presented and the judge gave the instructions to the jury, it will be the judge who do that. He claimed that the district of court misstated the law in the sufficiency of the evidence against him. Because those errors occurred, the justices said the jury might have made a mistake. Because the jury was not correctly instructed on the meaning of an official act, it may have convicted Governor McDonald for conduct that is not unlawful, Roberts wrote in the decision. For that reason, we cannot conclude that the errors in the jury instruction were harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. So anyway, they convicted. See, a federal grand jury in 2014 convicted McDonald and his wife Maureen on 11 counts of fraud for having accepted more than $175,000 in gifts and loans from Johnny R. Williams Sr., an executive at the dietary supplement company Star Scientific. The government argued that McDonald took meetings, hosted events at the governor mansions, and contacted staff to help Williams secure independent testing for a new tobacco-based diet supplement called Antiblock. In return, Williams showered him and Maureen with gifts that included $15,000 for their daughter's wedding reception and the use of Williams' Ferrari and a Rolex watch. All right, so he got off on the technicality, because the judge messed up the instructions according to the Supreme Court. So it's going to be up. So now the federal government can retry him. This is not double jeopardy here. We'll see what Loretta Lynch, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, directs those U.S. attorneys to do. Now, I just want to compare that to the other. Let me close out some of these windows. I want to compare this to the story concerning former mayor of Detroit Kwame Kilpatrick in the Supreme Court. Let me open up this article. U.S. Supreme Court denies appeal from former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. He was convicted of rigging contracts and taking bribes. Now, let me see if this will load up. I'll play this video coming to you from clickondetroit.com. See if we can get it to load up here. Listen to the audio version of this report.
Jane loves to treat herself.
So obviously it's going to play those. Here's some intro. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined a request by former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick to overturn his corruption conviction and 28-year prison sentence. So he got 28 years. Again, we'll hear about what exactly he was charged with. We just heard about McDonald and his wife, 11 counts of fraud. So let's continue.
The United States Supreme Court delivers one final blow to Kwame Kilpatrick's bid to get out of prison. Today, the Supreme Court said they decided to not review the case and rejected Kilpatrick's appeal without comment.
So that means Kilpatrick is unlikely to get his 28-year public corruption sentence overturned. So let's get to Defender Kevin Dietz. And Kevin, this probably is the last chapter in this case, or is it?
Well, I don't think we'll see any last chapter in the Kwame Kilpatrick story anytime soon. But this Supreme Court ruling definitely means that his odds of getting a new trial or getting out of prison anytime soon are next to none.
Kwame Kilpatrick will not get a new trial as the United States Supreme Court rejects his appeal without comment. The former Detroit mayor is serving a 28-year sentence for racketeering and fraud, convicted of steering millions of dollars to his contractor buddy, Bobby Ferguson, in a pay-for-play scheme. Ferguson is serving a 20-year sentence. The Kilpatrick era has ended in Detroit, but almost everyone still remembers the bigger-than-life hip-hop mayor and has an opinion on his fall from grace.
I think he did a dynamic thing for the city. I'm tired of them beating him across the coals, though.
He should be held responsible for what he did to the city. And no, he shouldn't get another appeal. He should sit down and do his time.
And an opinion on his lengthy prison sentence and his effort to shorten it.
I think they should at least hear what he had to say versus just making a decision.
I think he's had enough days in court, so I'm good with that decision.
Kilpatrick wanted a new trial because his lawyer had a conflict of interest and the relationship had broken down. He also said federal prosecutors gave federal agents too much latitude while testifying in the court trial. The Court of Appeals didn't buy it and the Supreme Court isn't interested. So Kilpatrick's 28-year sentence stands. He's housed in El Reno, Oklahoma Federal Prison and is scheduled for release in August 2037.
So people ask, what about a presidential pardon? Well, the rules are that Kwame Kilpatrick has to serve at least 5 years in prison before he's eligible for a presidential pardon. So if he's going to apply for one, it will not come from President Barack Obama. Kevin Dietz, Defenders.
And it won't come from Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or nobody else who becomes CEO of USA, Inc., whoever gets appointed to that position. But anyway, again, they wouldn't even hear it. All right, but I'm looking at this other dude got 2 years. I wonder if it has something to do with the amount of money involved here. But the governor, former governor of Virginia, got 2 years. Kilpatrick got 28 years. So, but anyway, just days ago, we heard about a Pennsylvania congressman, black dude, Shaka Fatah, convicted on other charges. This is why I'm saying, man, I think, you know, I'm going to have to reserve any kind of opinion on Loretta Lynch, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, because there have been a lot of these public corruption prosecutions since she's been in there, man, and that's a good sign. And she doesn't believe that anybody should be above the law. So there may be some hope yet that Hillary Clinton gets indicted, who did very similar things to all of these men. And this is the information that's being suppressed. But this is business as usual. Pay for play. Kwame ain't doing nothing that the Clintons ain't been doing for 30 years through the Clinton Foundation, or however long, you know, that's been around since 1997, I believe. The stuff she's accused, the hundreds of millions of dollars from these other countries to the Clinton Foundation, then they getting weapon deals and other deals approved through the State Department while she was there. They are trying to get some emails released at a faster pace by this Sunlight organization on, you know, they look at nonprofits. They won a lawsuit to get the State Department to turn over all the emails, or was it the Clinton Foundation? No, the State Department to turn over all the emails from Chelsea Clinton to her mom on her private server. And Chelsea was using a fake name, a fake email account under a fake name, because that would be improper. So they had to be discussing business, you know, as it relates to the Clinton Foundation and her mother at the State Department. That would show collusion. Now, they were ordered to release, it's numbered to be like in the thousands or over a thousand or something, and they were ordered to release this, and they just been releasing like seven per month, something like that, just a trickle, trying to keep this from coming out before the November elections is what it seems the Obama administration is doing, because he don't want his legacy tainted by the fact that he wasn't really doing in charge of his administration. Hillary Clinton would just had her run of the plantation, did whatever the hell she wanted to do, all kind of manner of criminality, and he did not do anything to stop her. Oh, he's a weak CEO who couldn't control his employees. And Hillary Clinton's that kind of white supremacist feminist that she ain't gonna, how dare some Negro give me orders or think he's going to tell me how to run this department that he appointed me to. She's that tight. Behind the scenes, there is a Secret Service agent who got some book out, and he was saying like she was really a vicious, mean woman. I'm not going to use the term for the female dog, but man. But all of this is just standard practice. It goes on in politics. So again, I ask you why you won't say this system. Why you want to keep this corporation together? It just blows my mind that we got millions of parents out there who see no problem in endorsing these convicts, man, these criminals. So that's all I got for you. Those are the news stories that I just wanted to touch upon today. It's not really clear. I need more information before I can see if white supremacy played a role. But I mean, some people might say by them not even hearing the case, not accepting his case, but accepting McDonald's and whatnot. So, you know, we point to that. But I am not sitting up here saying this man is innocent, because I got a family member who has a family member who actually did some security work at a club and, you know, heard things and saw things. And Kilpatrick, man, was a hip-hop gangster, man. I hate to put it that way, man. Probably listening to too much gangster rap and all of that, and he started believing in his own hype and got careless because he was doomed by his text messaging with the woman he was cheating on his wife with. So I have no sympathy for him, but I don't think he should be enslaved, and he's on a federal plantation. He's probably making products and services and all of that to profit USA Inc. Slavery isn't the answer. All right, so that's my program. I will be back on air with Black Talk Radio News on Thursday, because on Wednesday nights I'm doing New Abolitionist Radio with the guys, Max and Yohanan, where we talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking. By the way, and I'm just glad I reminded myself, but we should have a guest tomorrow night. One of the attorneys from, what is the name of that law firm? Attorneys for Justice, something like that. But they're representing the family in this case where this black male was found strangled, pretty much, but murdered in jail by guards. Looking forward to, not really looking forward to it, but that will be a guest to share some details with us on that case and anything, you know, that they propose that the public can get involved that would be constructive and beneficial. All right, so that's the program for today. Recognize the fact that we behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc., a corporation that practices slavery. It is legalized through the 13th Amendment. Many of these states mirror the 13th Amendment. So these corporations, the private corporations, prison corporations and whatnot, I got to check out. I hope they got damaged in this Brexit vote. I hope GO Group and Correction Corporation lost plenty of money on their stock and all of that. I got to check on that. But that's what's going on. These corporations then have contracts with countries, and they're in all over the planet, and that makes it global slavery and whatnot. All emanating from right here behind the enemy lines of this place I call USA Inc. So slavery is not going to end itself. We're going to have to do something to bring it to an end. Now, take precautions that you don't end up being a slave, because it's a lucrative business. They're making a whole lot of money off of it, and they're looking for any reason to make you a slave. Supreme Court just said they could use illegally obtained evidence against you from racially profiling you if you are a runaway slave, and even if you just got a warrant for a missed court date for a speeding ticket or a parking ticket or something, we can use this against you. Doesn't matter the slave catcher racially profiled you and whatnot, and he wasn't justified in his actions for stopping you while you were walking or driving while black. And so, I mean, we just have to really keep ourselves in order, man. Don't miss those court dates if you get them tickets. Don't get those warrants issued out on you to where then you are runaway slave status. You got that runaway slave. You in the system as a runaway slave. Slave catchers are looking out for you. Try to stay out of those situations. Don't speed. Don't drink and drive. Just certain precautions that you can take that would help you stay out of slavery. But it ain't just again about just staying out of it ourselves, but we do got to end it, man. For people that belong in prison, we got to have a humane prison system that works more, focuses more on rehabilitation instead of a punishment and profit. But the vast majority of people, upwards of probably 80%, are in there for nonviolent victimless crimes. They shouldn't be slaves. So you do not want to end up in that condition. But if you do, you know, all we can do is do whatever the best we can to inform people about your situation and hopefully, you know, facilitate the networking of different organizations to fight this long war against it. And maybe, you know, we can see you get set free, like, you know, we seen Devontae Sanford get set free last week after 9 years on the plantation suffering abuse from guards and what have you, when he was wrongfully convicted as a 14-year-old. All right, so with that said, be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.